boycott in 1965, after it was wanted for 5 years. But one of the demands that we had there was the demand in those days asking the grape growers to eliminate the use of DDT and DDE and the other related poisons. And I recall well when the demand was made, the growers told us that they couldn't because it was impossible for them to grow one single grape without DDT. The people who counseled us told us that that wasn't so, and we insisted. Because at that time, you will recall that we had heard from Rachel Carson and the terrible tragedies and problems that DDT was causing. And so we're on the boycott. And by 1970, 5 years later, 17.5 million Americans were boycotting grapes. The growers were just too happy to sit with us and ban the use of DDT 2 years before our own government banned the use of DDT throughout the country. And so today, on the organophosphates, we know it can do, we can do the same thing. In the Great San Joaquin Valley, the largest, the most, the wealthiest agricultural area in the world, there are cancer clusters in these communities surrounded by vineyards and cotton fields and other agricultural products. These cancer clusters come because of the unregulated use of cancer-causing pesticides that are used and have been used for many years now that are wrecking not only the lives of the workers and their families, but the environment, the water, the soil, and so forth. Hardly a day goes by that we do not get a report that a worker has been poisoned. Every so often, like 2.5 weeks ago, we get a report that a worker dies from the use of pesticides. When that happens because of the publicity of the boycott, because of the fast, and because now there's great awareness of the dangers of pesticides, the local authorities go into a very great panic. For instance, when the 25-year-old farm worker died, an autopsy was done on the body, and today, this is 3.5 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, and we still don't know the cause of death. Well, we know the cause of death, but officially it has not been reported what the cause of death was, except that the first report came out saying that it was a great mystery, the death of his worker, because he was supposed to have been fully protected. He had all the things that the law requires for protection, including the garments and the mask and the respirator and everything, yet he died. Worst of all is the impact of the pesticides on the children. In McFarland, as you saw in the video, the rate of cancer is 800% higher than the national average. The video was made 3.5 years ago, is now outdated, because now in McFarland, in early March, 14 miles north of McFarland, we discovered another cancer cluster where the incidence among children, cancer, is 1,200% above the national average. We have visited with those children, with the families, and we know too well from seeing them the agony and the slow, painful death and the great fear that exists in those communities about, as you saw in the video, where's it going to strike next? I'm about to have a baby, and is the baby going to be born complete without any defects? Table grapes is the largest food crop in California. It employs about 80,000 jobs and about 50 or a little less than 50,000 workers, mostly in California, a little bit in Arizona. 10 million pounds of pesticides are used, mostly organophosphates, on grapes every year. That's about 5,000 tons of pesticides on those grapes. There are more than 75 types of pesticides used, and according to the government, U.S. government accounting office, 34 of those 76 legal pesticides cause cancer and some birth defects. But we really don't know all the hazards of these pesticides because EPA has not yet finished doing the study on those pesticides, and we're told by estimates by the GAO that it's going to take EPA probably to the year 2200 before they catch up and they have every single pesticide analyzed to find out the real impact of those pesticides on the environment and human life. We maintain that there are no safe pesticides because the sole purpose of a pesticide is to kill living things. And while the growers may not recognize this, we maintain that workers and their families and consumers are living things, and that the use of pesticides in grapes, as an example, or the reported poisonings and damage to workers in table grapes in California is 52% of all of the poisonings in every other crop combined in California. In other words, more poisons are reported in grapes than all the other crops combined in California. We're confronted with a very difficult problem with drift. A lot of pesticides are sprayed by airplane, helicopter, and are sprayed by tractor, some. And so that as the wind picks up the pesticides, and they drift sometimes for as much as 40 miles. And so pesticides are everywhere. We have tested the soil in those small communities. It's in the fields. It's in the roadways. It's in the parks, in the schoolyards, in front of the city halls. It's everywhere. The constant exposure of those people to those pesticides, we think, linked the high incidence of cancer and miscarriages and birth defects and even death. Because the testing is inadequate, we really cannot assure the safety of the workers and also know exactly what is the impact of the pesticide residue on the consumers as they ingest the food that contains those residues. The government accounting office states that the present testing methods, the multi-residue testing methods that are used today, are not adequate enough to really find out the residue levels in the various fruits and vegetables as they come to the marketplace. Not only that, but the tolerance levels, which is a big disappointment to us by EPA, that they set these tolerance levels out of thin air, that they really don't have the data to medically give us the tolerance levels that make sense, and that we know also that they use the risk to the people and to environment, and also they take into account the benefits to the growers, and then they combine to and make a decision so that if a certain pesticide is going to cause one cancer per 100,000 lives, they may wear well up the tolerance level, so it may be two cancers per 100,000 lives. Because to do that, and if you increase a tolerance level, then they can use more of the same pesticide or other pesticides. So there's this juggling that is done by EPA, which we think is immoral and shouldn't happen. And we know EPA has insufficient data. EPA and the Food and Drug Administration admit that tolerance levels are inadequate. We've been campaigning against pesticides since 1958. In those early days when we mentioned pesticides and we got people to look at us and they didn't understand what we're talking about. In these 30-some years, We have not seen one state legislature, not one Congress, not one governor, not one president that has been able to do anything to bring about public policy to really deal with the issue of pesticides. And today, we don't think it's going to happen in the near future. And so we feel that there are other ways to deal with such issues as peace and the environment, other than politics. We think there are other solutions to deal with the issue of the homeless and the poor and the minorities and racism and sexism and so forth. You see, the have-nots